thank everyone for coming. Welcome to all the devotees and to guests. Anybody here for the first time? Any new people? First time? Okay. So there are many wonderful scriptures, and scripture means the word of the Supreme Lord, the word of the great souls who give their life for the service of the Supreme Lord. And one such scripture is called Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, there are many, many episodes of the life of Lord Krishna, and much emphasis about the life of the devotees of Lord Krishna. And of course, there are other activities. One of the greatest and most extensive scriptures you can find. It comprises, if you took, everyone is familiar with the Iliad and the Odyssey. This is like you go to school and you study the Greek histories of these two great works of knowledge about Greek philosophy, Greek tradition. If you take the Iliad and the Odyssey and you combine and you multiply it four times, you get Mahabharata as far as amount of information that's there. And why the Mahabharata is so important is because it actually talks about Krishna. Although Krishna is not the central figure of the Mahabharata, there's a lot of activities that center around his life. And specifically, one great scripture called Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is Krishna speaking the transcendental knowledge to his disciple Arjuna, which is the most famous, Vedic scripture in the world. The Bhagavad Gita has been translated in so many languages, and there's also, something like 700 million people follow that as their religious scriptures. So it's actually one of the most, and it's of course, what makes it also so great, it's spoken by God himself in person, and it has all the knowledge that one needs in order to practice spiritual life effectively and perfectly. And in the Mahabharata, there's many sections that are quite unknown to many people in general because of the length of that scripture. And the Mahabharata talks about the Bhagavad Gita was placed within the Mahabharata as a way to get people to read philosophy. Mahabharata is more like history, and in that history there are so many other aspects of history, romance and war, social, political activities. And so Vyasadeva put Vyasadeva, he is the author of Vedic scriptures, and he placed the Bhagavad Gita within the Mahabharata because he knew people generally don't like to read religious scriptures. They like romance, they like stories, they like politics, they like social events, they like so many things. So in order to make it Bhagavad Gita available, he took it and placed it in a section of the Mahabharata. And that is part of the history. Now, that history describes a war, which was the greatest of all powerful wars in the history of the world, where for 18 days, two very powerful armies fought for the supremacy of the world. And both armies were actually cousin brothers, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. They were members of the same family. And each were vying for the throne. One side was avaricious and somewhat, duplicious, trying to cheat. The other side, which was the natural inheritance. And the other side was actually the devotees of God, Krishna's, intimate family. Although Krishna was related to both people on both sides, Krishna appeared at that time, and although he is not a human being, he took birth within that time period and had relatives and friends on both sides. But he favored the Pandavas because the Pandavas were his devotees. The war went on for 18 days, 640 million soldiers, not people, soldiers. Of course, soldiers are also people. 650 million soldiers. No population from women and children were slaughtered in that war. It was only those who were actually involved with the fighting. But it's the greatest history in the world, the greatest war in the history of the world. 640 million people were killed. Can you imagine? I mean, if you combine all the wars together within the last few centuries, you don't get even close to that number. I think World War I, World War II, 1 or 2 million people. So it is a phenomenal war. And that took place in 18 days. Now sometimes they have wars for years and years and years and years. But God was there and he expedited the whole process. He made it happen fast. And his devotees actually became supreme. And there was one family called the Pandavas. And they were five brothers. Five brothers. And three were prominent. Yudhisthira, Arjuna, and Bhima. They were also powerful warriors. And Yudhisthira was the rightful heir to the kingdom. When the battle was over, Yudhisthira was placed on the throne. Although reluctantly he took the throne because he felt that because of him getting the throne, so many people were killed. So he wasn't so happy how he achieved the throne, but it was his duty to accept the throne, so he did. And Krishna encouraged him to take that position. So there was a somewhat of an era of peace after the war, and Yudhisthira was the king. And being a righteous and religious king, he followed Dharma very strictly. In other words, he was ruling the citizens for the benefit of the citizens. Nowadays, you see rulers. Nobody likes the rulers because they're always trying to put forth their own programs in order to get position, power. And if they do have a little altruistic or, what we say, concern for others, they don't know how to rule properly. They don't know how to rule properly. So we see leaders change so often because they're so unqualified. Just recently they elected a president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump. You've heard of him? And he's been in office for 3 months, and now there's an impeachment process trying to remove him from office after 3 months. So this is what goes on. It's today's leaders. Nobody's satisfied with the leaders, and the leaders are not qualified to lead. And they're always causing difficulty to people in general. But Yudhisthira was different. He was a man of God. He was very righteous, very religious, very compassionate, very qualified to lead. He had all good qualities. So in that position, he wanted to, what we say, relate to people in general. He was concerned of what was on the minds of people. So he established a policy, which was the tradition in that time, that anyone who wanted to meet the king could meet the king and speak their mind. So he would have like we call open door policy. You'd have to make an appointment, but you could come and you could meet the head of state. And at that time, Bhima was the secretary. He was sitting outside of the door in his secretarial office, and Yudhisthira was in his room in the royal palace. So one man comes. This is right after the war. Now everything has been established. People are happy, and now they're coming forward to speak to the king. But there's always problems. To live in the material world means to deal with problems. One problem after another. Social problem, religious problem, gender problem, marital problem. problems, problems, problems. Sometimes we say, will there be any end to problems? No. There's only one way to end all problems, is that go back to the spiritual world. And then there's no problems there. But this is the nature of this world. There's always conflict. For so many reasons, people fight on different levels. It's just the way this place is. And so one person, they came and they met Bhima. They said, Bhima, I want to speak to King Yudhisthira. So Bhima said, well, I just got the word that Yudhisthira is right now, he's resting. And so he'll be a little while. But you can also explain your problem to me and maybe I can help. So the man said, okay. Actually, I had the most unusual experience. I can't figure it out. I need some understanding, some explanation. He said that I built a garden, and I built a very beautiful garden. And I was thinking, oh, this is so nice with so many flowers and so many shrubs and trees and walkways. It was very beautiful. Then I was thinking, you know, I should do something to protect the garden. So I decided to build a boundary wall around the garden. So I did. It took me some time. And then the most strangest thing happened when after I finished the boundary wall started to encroach on the garden and destroy the garden. Encroach means to kind of like move forward. And so the wall actually started to destroy my garden. I built the wall to protect the garden, but the wall was destroying my garden. So what? Tell me, what is this? Bhima said, I can't answer that, but I think you should go see Yudhisthira. So maybe he's not resting anymore. Go ahead. So he went in. And then, right after that, another man comes. And he said, Bhima, I have to see Yudhisthira. I have this concern. It's not serious, but I need an explanation. I know Yudhisthira is very qualified to explain things. Bhima said, I think he's busy with another person. Can you tell me what is your situation? He said, all right. I had this bucket, and it was filled with water. And I decided to take the bucket and to pour it into some other smaller containers. So I got some cups, and I filled 5 cups with all the water in the bucket. The bucket was empty, 5 cups were filled. And then I thought, let me put the water back. But when I put the water back, the bucket was only half filled. I didn't spill any. I started with a full bucket, put all the water in 5 cups, poured it back, and I only had a half a bucket. What's the answer? Bhima said, I don't think I can answer that one. So you can go sit in the next room and you can meet Yudhisthira when he's ready. Okay, so a third man comes after some time. And he comes in and he says, oh, Bhima, I saw something. I can't believe it. I really was amazed to see this. It's not very nice, but it was a really shocking. First time anything like this has ever happened. Please give me an explanation. Bhima said, all right. Well, I know Yudhisthira is busy. You explain to me. Okay. Well, there was this wall, big wall, and then there was this elephant. And I watched. The elephant was walking very slowly but very steadily towards this wall. And then he got really close to the wall, but he didn't stop. He kept going. And he just plowed right through the whole wall. But he got all the way through. But you know, the elephant, they have that little tiny tail. It got stuck. The whole elephant went right through the wall, but his tail got stuck. What happened? Bhima said, I think I should have stayed home today. He didn't say that, but anyway. He was thinking another problem I can't answer. So you go and see Yudhisthira. Just stand in line. So after some time, a fourth man comes. And he says, I have to see Yudhisthira. I need some explanation. I had this experience. I need an explanation. Please let me talk to Yudhisthira. Well, Bhima said, it's been a long day. There's many people have been coming. They have problems. He's busy. Give me a try. Okay. Well, I decided to go someplace I'd never been before. And I traveled and I traveled and I traveled. Just wanted to explore some new areas. And so I went to this area and I just kept going and going and going. I was walking and walking and walking and walking. And then after a while, things started to change. It started to getting dark. And then it became really, what we say, very, very shadowy. And then I looked around and I'm thinking, where am I? And I saw all these mountains, big mountains, and these big rock formations. And then when I looked, I realized they were on all sides of me, everywhere. And I was thinking, oh my God, where am I? This is, and it was becoming darker and darker and darker. And I was feeling really frightened. And it would seem like something bad was about to happen to me. But just being there was so scary. I decided, let me go. Let me try to get out of here. So I started to go. And I was running. But I didn't know which way to go because it was on all sides. And as I was running, all of a sudden, I just looked down. And it was only rocks and mountains where I was. But I saw this little green shoot creeper coming out of the ground like a plant. It wasn't very big. It was very small. But I decided, where did that come from? It's nothing like that around. So I decided, let me pull it. So I took it. And I pulled it, and when I pulled it up, all of a sudden, all the darkness gone, all the mountains were gone, the sun was out, and it was so nice. That's the story. No, I'm just kidding. Then I was thinking, what is this? This is so wonderful. So can you give me an explanation? Go see Yudhisthira. So after the four men are gone, nobody else comes. So Bhima decides to go into Yudhisthira's office. He walks in and he's all alone. There's no one there. And Bhima says, Yudhisthira, I sent four men in. Did you speak to them? No, I didn't see any four men. Those four men. Yes. Sorry about that. Krishna will soon leave the planet and Kali Yuga will come. Kali Yuga is a very bad age. There will be so many problems. Those four men represent Kali Yuga. Bhima said, tell me about it. What does those mean? What were their stories? Yes, Yudhisthira said, yes. The first man, the garden and the wall, he says, the citizens of the state will elect a government leader and the government leaders will destroy the citizens. The garden is built. The wall is about to protect the garden, but the garden is destroyed by the wall. People elect their leaders for protection, for guidance. The leaders will destroy the people. Kali Yuga. Second one. Yes, this is very sad. The man with the bucket and the five cups. Parents will give so much time, attention, care to their children. Children will not appreciate their parents. They will not appreciate their parents. The parents will give them so much, the children will give very little back. Kali Yuga. The fourth one, the third one, what is about this tail and this elephant? Oh, if you have money, you can get justice. If you're poor, even if you're innocent, you can't get justice. So the rich man, he can just use his money to get through things, but the poor man, that little tail, gets stuck in the wall. Poor people will never be able to get proper justice because they are poor. Rich men can buy their way through the law systems. Kali Yuga. What about the last one? The man who was walking and he said, oh, this is nice. The darkness, the mountains, the rocks, the fearful condition represents Kali Yuga. Manda, Sumanda, Matayo, Manya Bhaga Upradhata. In this age, people will never be able to come up to a stand. Memory is lost. Intelligence is lost. Mercy is lost. Compassion is lost. Duration of age is lost. Everything goes down in this age. Down, down. And as the age goes on, it'll only get worse. This is this age of Kali. What is that little green creeper? Ah, Yudhisthira said, that is wonderful. That's the holy name. That's the holy name of Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, the entire effects of Kali Yuga and all its bad qualities will disappear from the life of those persons who take full shelter and chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Ram Ram, Hare.
That's the mercy of the Lord in this age. He's made something very simple, but very, very powerful and very effective. Not only does it bring one purification of heart and realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it destroys everything inauspicious in one's life. If we take shelter of Krishna's name in each and every circumstance. But even more than that, wherever we are, we should always remember Krishna. And we should always remember Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So this little pastime of the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and Bhima, and very illustrative of the effects of this age. And so the more we try to make material arrangements to better our material situation, the more we complicate life and cause more and more problems. Prahlad Maharaj gives a nice statement. He says, if you want to be happy, do one thing. Stop trying. Can you imagine driving on the highway and you see one of these billboards? Happiness means don't try for it. How many people would actually take that seriously? What does it mean is that the happiness is available in Krishna, in Krishna's holy name. If we fully take shelter of that and have faith and practice it, then Krishna will reveal everything and more through his holy name and through the association of others who are chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is what we are known as, the Hare Krishnas. When sometimes people refer to us, they never refer to us as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's very rare. But people know, oh, there's a Hare Krishna. So we have been given a little label based on what we do. We chant the Lord's name. And that is a good, that is a credit. And we ask everyone else to take part in this chanting, because it is meant for everyone. And it's not meant for a certain class of people, not meant for a certain caliber of people, not meant for a certain age group, culture, gender, or any material status. It's meant for everyone. Because this is Lord Chaitanya has personally come to give this mercy. And when the Lord wants to deliver something, he usually sends his representative to do that. But in this case, he came personally. Came personally to make it, to show it, and to practice it himself, and show that this is what you're looking for. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Are we supposed to ask for questions? Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you have spoken that the holy name takes away all inefficiencies in our life. From the material point of view, it don't must look as a success, you know, as a winning, you know. It don't mean that we will be, through this, you know, 100% material successful.
No. Material success is not success. Because whatever you gain, you lose. And while you're trying to enjoy what you gain, you also have so many problems. So what is it? What is the success? The success is you become happy. Why do we do anything in life? For happiness. Happiness is the goal of life. And so when one becomes Krishna conscious through chanting the holy names, they become happy. And that's material success, that's spiritual success, that's success. That's the purpose of our existence, to become happy. We are, by nature, happy people. The soul is by nature ananda, which is, means not only happy, but full of happiness. But we fail to experience that in material life. But it's available. Yeah. And therefore, even if we have many material responsibilities, they also become happy when we are Krishna conscious. Because when you're happy, you're happy. So it's all about becoming happy. Is there anybody that doesn't want to become happy here? Raise your hand. Well, the struggling to be happy means you want to be happy. Yeah, but that's not you. That's the coverings of the material energy over your natural happiness. You're just trying to get rid of those things. It's like if you go to sleep at night and somebody says, oh, I'll tuck you in the bed, and they put the covers over your head. You're not going to sleep so well. You're going to die because you can't breathe. So just take the covers and pull it back a little bit so you can breathe a little. So that covering is not needed. That's the material nature. That's our material nature. So we're just trying to remove that material nature and experience our spiritual nature, which is natural and, what we say, eternal. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.